take a look at the word in the Bible which has been used the most, or let me put it that way, where it has been referred to the most, is the heart of a person. So I'm going to preach about the heart this afternoon. Megan is not here. She is a cardiologist, and she would explain everything about a heart to us, but I'm only going to touch a little bit on it because I'm not a medical doctor, so that's going to be a little bit dangerous for me. If we take a look at the Bible, of what the Bible has got to say about the heart, then the first text which I got was the one out of Genesis where Abram is mentioning then something about his heart. Then he says, "Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart," this is when they said to Abram, "You are going to become father, and you're going to become a father of a big nation," and he didn't have a child, and he was 100 years old. And he said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 19 years old, bear a child?" So he's talking to his heart. Now, what exactly does it mean over there? What type of heart? Now, if we take a look at the word heart, it is the Hebrew word labe. And labe basically has got three meanings. The one is the heart, the physical heart, which I've got and all of you have got as well. The next one is, it's a feeling, it's a will, it's the intellect. You nearly can say it's your soul, you can even say, because what is in the soul is a lot of it is in the heart as well. And then the other is, the heart is the center. It is the center of, when you throw darts, then you've got a heart in the center. That's where you start to go and fall and score points. If we take a look at the New Testament, we also have got that word heart. And the verse which I took over there is one which is coming out of Matthew, where Jesus is talking on the mountain and where he's doing a sermon over there. And then he says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And then the word which is used over there is a Greek word, and that's the Greek word cardia. So I just now mentioned cardiologist, cardiology, study of the heart. This is where it is coming from, and that's that word cardia. But what does it actually mean over there? And then if we compare it, the Old and the New Testament, it's more or less the same. Again, it has got three meanings. The one is the heart, the other one is then the thoughts, the feeling, the mind, and then the other one is again that it is in the middle. Now, if we take a look at this verse where it also says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well," so which means you've got to make a choice. If you choose on earth, then your heart is going to be on earth. If you choose in heaven, then your heart is going to be in heaven. So that's basically what it is saying over there. So where your treasure is, that your heart is going to be. Because where we choose where we want to be, our heart is going to follow over there as well. The ESV, which is the English Standard Version, in a study Bible, I also found a quite interesting, but actually a good description of what a heart means in the Bible. And it says over there, "Hearts refers to the center of one's being." It means it's in the middle. Our heart is also in the middle, a little bit on the left, but reasonable in the middle. Involving one's emotions, reason, and will. So that's all involved over there. And our heart belongs to the Lord. It's not our heart. Our heart belongs to the Lord, which means our feelings, our will, our intellect, our thoughts, our mind, it belongs to the Lord. We can read that in Proverbs 23, verses 26, where it says, "My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your feelings. Give me your mind. Give me your thoughts. Give me your will. That's what I want to have." I'm going to leave this part now a little bit on one side, and I'm going to have a look now at our heart, our physical heart, what is actually in it, and if we can learn something from there. Our heart is a muscle, one big muscle, which is pumping blood through vessels. Okay, I see I made a copy that it even worked as well. So there you can see the valves opening up. Like the one guy said, he said, if you take a look at the heart, there's a structure. There's electricity, because the electricity is giving the impulse, and there's plumbing there as well. So, yeah, you've got everything over there in the heart. So the heart is pumping, and the heart is pumping, the body is giving, it's pumping the oxygen and the nutrients, it's pumping it to the different places, but it's also assisting in removal whatever metabolic waste there is. So it is pumping, I nearly would say, life, because it gives life, but it's pumping away the rubbish as well, so that you're not going to be building up the rubbish, so it's cleaning up as well. If we take a look at the facts about the human hearts, there are a few things which I wrote down. First of all, it is roughly, they say, the size of a large fist. Some of them say it is a little bit larger, but it gives you a little bit of an idea how big it is. Gram-wise, you can see it's 280 to 340 grams. Those guys who know about the steak and all those type of grams, then you've got a little bit of an idea what it actually means, how big it is, what type of, how big the piece of meat is. And it beats approximately 100,000 times per day. Okay, so don't count it because you're going to count 100,000 times. Roughly 3 billion beats in a lifetime. And that's enough to fill up 3 super tankers. So that's what you can fill up with your blood, which is going through your veins in your lifetime. And then the adult's heart beats approximately 60 to 80 minutes, 80 times per minute. They say if you're fitter, it is going to be closer to 60. If you're unfit, it's going to be closer to 80. If you take a look at the newborn, it's anything between 70 to 190 times per minute what it is beating. And your body has got approximately 5.6 liters of blood, which is circulating through the body 3 times every minute. So 3 times every minute, your body is getting oxygen, nutrients, and the metabolic waste is being removed. So that's happening 3 times a minute. So the heart is doing quite an important job over there. There's a certain term which you most probably have heard about. That's the ECG. They also call it the EKG. It's an electrocardiograph. Has been invented by a Dutch person, Willem Eindhoven, in 1924. It's still being used now to measure the heartbeat. Where did the guy study? Utrecht. He studied in Utrecht. From Utrecht, he went to Amsterdam. He was medical doctor for 1 year. And he was promoted to the University of Leiden. And immediately became a lecturer over there. So it gives you a little bit of an idea how clever that guy was. He studied in Utrecht. Again, the human heart is then the organ which pumps the blood through the body. It supplies oxygen. It takes away the carbon dioxide. And it's really, each and every time, it's a fresh supply. It's a new supply what it is giving to us. If there's going to be a blockage of the heart, then the heart cannot work. We know that. We all know about heart diseases. And they say in America, the most people with heart attacks are getting it on a Monday morning. When they take a look at the week, with all the things they've got to do, then they get a heart attack on a Monday morning. So Monday morning, the first aid, it's quite busy there at the hospital. Okay, now we had a look at the physical heart, but now we're going to have a look a little bit of our own heart. Our own heart is the deepest part of our thinking process. And that's also why we can read in the Bible that God says he wants to write his law on our hearts. He wants to write his law on our hearts, on our thinking process. He wants to write the law on our feelings, our will, our thoughts in our minds. This is what he wants to have that we should be busy with. So God wants to pump life into our hearts. He wants to be in our thinking. He wants to be in our mind. He wants to be in our thoughts. If we compare the physical hearts with the plan that God has got for us, then it's actually quite interesting to see that there are a few correlations over there. The heart is pumping oxygen, which is life. That's the next one, just leave it over there at the moment. The heart is pumping oxygen, which is life, to all the organs. If the heart is not pumping it, the organs are going to die. That's actually very short. It's the same with us, if we would take it with God. God wants to pump life, eternal life, into us. And if we're going to resist it, and if we're not going to accept it, what is the end going to be? We're going to die. It's also going to be finished. So there's a correlation between the two. The heart is pumping, like I said, the rubbish, it's pumping it away. God is doing exactly the same with us. If we've sinned, we can bring it to the Lord. He's pumping it away. He's taking it away. It doesn't bother us anymore. I just now spoke about a heart attack. Heart attack. If we've got a heart attack, then our arteria are blocked. Then the pipes which are there, they are blocked. And the oxygen cannot go through. And then we've got a heart attack. And then what is actually happening, the body cannot, of the body, the veins cannot function the way that it has been, what it has been made for. And to give you a little bit of an example, let's say my brother-in-law, he's got a garage next to his house. It has been made for a garage, but now he's using his garage to put his bicycle in there, to put other rubbish in there. Now he cannot use his garage for his car anymore. So it's actually, the reason why it's made was for being a garage. He's not using it because he's using it for another purpose. And it's the same with our heart. If we're going to fill up our hearts with other things which are not supposed to be there, so if our minds and our thinking and our intellect are going to be busy with other things which are not from God, then we are not actually doing what the Lord actually made us for and what we're supposed to be. Another one which I've thought we also can have a look at, and you will most probably agree with me over there, is that the heart of a newborn child beats faster than that one of an adult. That's what I just now said. And I say then that if we take a look at the life of a newborn child, and I'm talking about a person who came, who was converted, who is now a follower of God, that guy has got more life, as what sometimes is happening with a mature Christian. Maybe a little bit too much energy, but he's very excited because he wants to tell everybody what happened in his life. When you're getting a little bit older, when you're a little bit more matured, your amount of beats are getting less and getting a little bit less. You settle. But if you get those new believers, they've got a lot of energy, they've got a lot of excitement because something new happened over there. So that heart is pumping over there. Interesting as well, the heart has got three layers. Around it, it muscles, it has got three layers. And then immediately when I read it, I thought, okay, Trinity. We've got God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all three of them are around our hearts, protecting our hearts, giving the muscle to our hearts. The pumping is happening in five stages. It starts with the rest phase, then you've got the other stages coming. But all stages are critical for the heart. If one of those stages is not there, then the heart cannot work. And I found a similarity in the same in the church. We're talking about the, we call it again, the fivefold ministry. Sorry, I had to look for that word. The fivefold ministry, where we've got then the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Those five are critical in a church. If we haven't got them in a church, then the church cannot work. If you only have got an apostle in your church is not going to work. You can maybe do some of the others, but you need it. That was for us very interesting when at a certain time when we had a look at what type of talents, what we've got and gifts we've got in our church, that we are complementing each other, that God has already provided for that. And then the other is that the heart is in the center of something. And this is why I also feel that God has got a plan that we are here in Utrecht. We are in the center of the Netherlands. Now, from the center, it is pumped through your whole body, and from the center of Utrecht, it's pumped through the whole of the Netherlands. This is the feeling what we've got, that we are part of it. Shofar Utrecht is part of pumping life, spiritual life, through the Netherlands. And there's another thing as well, that the heart can work on its own. We can be brain dead, but the heart will carry on working. And that's something which is also very unique to our heart. God made it like that. And now I'm actually coming then to what the title should have been. The title should have been a heart-to-heart connection, but I didn't want to put it directly on the screen in the beginning. I thought, okay, let me first start with a heart, and I can add the heart-to-heart connection. I can add it to it a little bit later. Okay, whose heart with whose heart? It's my heart with God's heart. It's your heart with God's heart. That's actually what it should be, because that is why we've been made. God wants to have a connection with us. He made you, and he wants to have a connection with us. He wants to have a heart-to-heart connection. And then the first question, okay, we know a little bit about our heart, where we just now said the feelings and emotions and all that, but what is God actually, how does his heart work? What can we learn from his heart? And then the place where I found, where I thought, okay, here I'm getting a little bit of a description of God's heart, is coming where David has been chosen, and where the Lord says then, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. A man, David then, after his own heart. So, meaning that he could see in David what he wanted to have, of what he wanted that David should be doing. He could see in David what was in his heart. And there are a few things which we can see over there. David, for instance, had absolute faith in God. Because if he didn't have absolute faith in God, he wouldn't have been standing in front of Goliath. Because you need faith to stand in front of such a big guy and say, okay, I'm going to fight you. But he had faith in God that was not questionable. Absolute faith in God. David is also absolutely loved God's law. He wanted to do exactly what the Lord told him to do. He didn't want to do anything else. He didn't want to do something more or something less. He just wanted to do what the Lord told him to do. David is also very thankful. Take a look at the Psalms. Take a look at how many times he's thanking the Lord for everything that he's getting from the Lord. And then he is also truly repentant. If he's done something wrong, he's bringing it to the Lord. Because he made mistakes. But he still was the blue-eyed boy of the Lord. He made mistakes with taking the wife of another man, but he repented of it. He could bring that to the Lord. So he was a man after God's heart. So there we can see a little bit of what is in God's heart. What does he actually want? He wants us, like David, that we should be absolute faith in God, absolutely love God's law, be thankful and repentant. The other one which is giving us an example of how God's heart is of course Jesus, because I think that is the perfect example. If we take a look at Jesus, what Jesus has been doing, how he has been working on earth, what we could see that he was praying, that he was healing, that he was teaching, he was doing whatever had to be done. There we could see he was doing what God wanted him to do. And that's why he had continuously connections with the Lord as well. Where he went up to his private place, he spoke to him, prayed, and then he was doing what had to be done. Because the connection that we need has got to be a heart-to-heart. The connection hasn't got to be a head-to-heart, because that doesn't work. Me and Renee are baptized, 2009, on the 27th of August, sorry, of April. It's Freedom Day in South Africa, it's King's Day in the Netherlands, so it doesn't matter, it's always good. It's a public holiday, and we thank the Lord for that. But I had knowledge before that. Before that, if you would ask me and say, okay, what must you do to get a ticket to heaven? The same as what I can tell you, what you've got to do to buy a ticket to fly from Amsterdam to Cape Town, I would have told you exactly, you do step 1, 2, 3, 4, I would have told you everything. But it was all in my head. It was not in my heart. It wasn't really that I had a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord. It was a head-to-heart, but that cannot work. You not get a transplant. You're not actually connected up. You're not receiving what you should receive. And I'm glad that changed. When I was baptized, things changed. I could understand what the Lord was looking for. I could receive. I could ask the Lord for a word and he would give me something. I would pray and he would give me a certain word or a scripture or anything like that. And there I could see that, yeah, you get in connection. You get in connection with the Lord. Because the devil also knows exactly what to do. And he knows exactly who God is. We can read in Luke 4 where it says over there, and the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And a knowing, what we can read over here, is a knowing which is just an acknowledgement. The devil knows about Christ. I also knew about Christ, but that's not enough. The knowing what the Lord is looking for is an intimate knowing. In the knowing that you've got in the Bible, there's a Jewish saying that the knowing, if you know somebody, you will see it if Adam and Eve, Adam knew Eve, they were intimate. And then the son was born. And that is what the Lord is looking for. We should know him, not that knowing, but that really that deep knowing that you know who he is. If we're going to have a heart-to-heart connection, practical ways, how are we going to do it and what can be done? I took Walking with Jesus, that book from Sias. If you haven't read that book or if you didn't go through it, I really would recommend it to go through it. It's a good book to give you a good basis where you can build your religion on, of your relation with the Lord on. And it is actually... Sorry, I took two pages. Okay, we spoke just now then about the demons who said that they knew God. But it is just knowing, being aware of it. They didn't have any feelings for the Lord whatsoever. But then the connection, the perfect one, this is what we can find in Jesus and the Father. There we can find the perfect connection. And if we take a look at John 17, verses 22, 21 is the verse which they just now mentioned at the convergence. This is 22, the next verse. And the glory which you gave me, this is now Jesus praying to the Father, and the glory you gave me, which the Father gave to him, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So Jesus and God are one. They have got a heart-to-heart connection. But the Lord wants us exactly the same. He should also, that we should be one, that we should also have a heart-to-heart connection, that we should be one along with God, that we have got that heart-to-heart connection with the Lord. And it's already in the beginning. If we take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 7, where the Lord is talking about already what we should do, what should happen in our heart. And I just want to go actually through that verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The first thing is that you should love the Lord with all your heart, which means you should love the Lord with all your feelings, your thinking, your thoughts, your mind, your will, with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So it's in your heart. It should be in your mind, in your thoughts, in your thinking. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down or when you rise up. So if we take a look at it, when we've got to do that, we've got to teach them to our children. We shouldn't send children to somewhere else that they should be taught by others. It's our first responsibility, is that our first mission field is our own children. You should talk of them when you're sitting in your house. So when you're in your house, if people are talking to you, they should hear it. How important the Lord is in your heart, in your thinking, and in your feelings, and in your mind. And it also says when you walk by the way. So if you're walking in Utrecht or if whatever you're working, that people can hear it, that they can see it in a way that you're walking over there, that God is on your mind, that God is in your feelings, that God is in your will, and that God is in your thoughts the whole time. When you lie down and when you rise up. So God should be first in your mind. When you go down, when you're going to lie down to sleep in the evening, or if you go rise up in the morning, God should be first, very first in your heart. And that is the most important thing. We know those verses of the one in Ezekiel where the Lord says, I'm going to take that stony heart away from you and I'm going to give you a flesh heart. We also know that David, give me a clean heart. So there's so many examples of a heart in the Bible. And each and every time it's about the thinking, the feelings, the will, the intellect. This is where we should be busy with the Lord. Now we come to those... So we've got Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah is also talking about it over here, that he wants to have a heart-to-heart connection. And then he says over there, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. So if we look for the Lord and if we want to find him, we're going to find him with our minds, with our feelings, and with our intellect. And now I'm coming to the practical ones, where I was talking about. Right, now I'm coming to the book, Walking with Jesus from Sias. It's basically spread, he said, your quiet time is spread over two different parts. The one is Bible reading and the other one is praying. The Bible reading, where he says, acknowledge and ask the Holy Spirit for revelations. Now the first important thing is acknowledge. If we want to have a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord, but we do not acknowledge the Lord, we do not acknowledge that He's there, then how are we going to have a heart-to-heart connection? We can't. It is necessary. Then we ask the Holy Spirit for a revelation, because the revelation is more important than the education. We can read books of other peoples who had revelations, but those who have got heart-to-heart connections with the Lord will tell you there's nothing more which is more satisfying than have that revelation when the Lord is showing you something, when the Lord is giving you a verse, or the Lord is showing you something or telling you something that you say, this is coming from the Lord. You can read all the books and listen to other people's testimonies. That revelation that you've got, if you get it from the Lord, it's so precious. You do not want to miss it. You read a chapter out of the Old and the New Testament. You think about it, what you've read. You speak to the God and ask about speak to God about what you've read, and then you memorize the key scripture. This is about reading the Bible, and the next one is about praying. And in praying and thanking God, consecrate your life to God, repent and ask for forgiveness for any sin. That's also necessary. If we want to have a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord, then if there's anything which is in between us, like I just now said as well, that the heart is also pumping out the rubbish, what we've created in our body, the heart is pumping it out. There must be nothing blocking it. It's the same with sins. If we've got anything which we've got to bring to the Lord, we've got to ask for forgiveness over there. We've got to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. We've got to speak to God honestly about our days. If you had a bad day, and even then you can say, Lord, before I want to sleep, I just want to speak to you. I just want to tell you terrible day I had. Share it. Share it with Him. He's your Father. He's interested. He wants to know exactly what's going on in your heart. Pray for the needs of others. Bring personal needs before God and thank God for the answered prayers. Then I took another one as well. Also, it's guidelines. Each and every one is different. I will spend time with the Lord early in the morning when nothing is disturbing me. Then I can focus on it, and then I can spend time, and then I'm listening to what the Lord is telling me. But I'm asking questions and I'm getting answers. I know that Renee is doing a little bit different. Renee will be quiet. She will just say, Lord, what do you want to share, talk to you today about it? And then that way she will have a heart-to-heart connections with the Lord. It's not all the same. It's just guidelines, just things which could help you if you say you're battling with having a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord, where you can have a look at. The first is, we've got to declare that we've got a longing in our heart. If there's not a longing in our heart, if there's not a desire in our heart that we want to speak to the Lord, we're basically wasting our time. And again, you see, we can only go to the Lord if we acknowledge that the Lord is over there. So we're going to the Lord, we're acknowledging Him, and we say, yes, we want to spend time with You. What this person is saying in his guidelines as well is, he said, speak to the Lord in the Spirit. Because if you're speaking in the Spirit, and if you speak quietly in tongues, and if you do it with thanksgiving as well, you're quieting down. You're focusing, because in the Spirit, your spirit is talking to God's spirit. You're quieting down, and you're becoming receptive that you can have that heart-to-heart connection. The next one is that he says, rest up. And the rest up, it means that you're not going to move around. For me, it's very difficult to move around and to have a connection with the Lord. I don't know with any of you or others, but I prefer to sit still and even to sit on the floor. I don't even want to sit on a couch or anything like that. I want to sit on the floor. That's where I can become quiet, where I can rest. What he's saying over there, rest. And then nothing should be keeping me busy. I switch off the phone, so there's no phone calls. I'm not hearing any WhatsApps coming in or anything like that. That's why I prefer to do it in the morning as well. I haven't read any email, maybe from work or anything like that. There's nothing which is keeping me busy. I can focus on making that heart-to-heart connection with the Lord. And then lighten up. What he means with lighten up, what we just now saw, that what C.S. was mentioning there as well. If there's anything in your heart, if there's any sin that you've got, if there's anything which is bothering you, bring it to the Lord, because it's not helping you if you're going to have that heart-to-heart connection, but your veins are being clogged up by sin. Bring it to the Lord, and then you will have a much better heart-to-heart connection. The next one is very straightforward. Shut up. Keep quiet. Very short what he says over there. He said, do not be afraid of silence. Stop thinking with your brain or with your mind. And that's probably the most difficult thing that we've got to do. And I know that a lot of us are battling with that, because you're thinking, okay, this is now more or less that time. This has got to happen. That's got to happen. But you've got to switch off everything. And you just have got to say, okay, I want to focus and I want to concentrate and I want to know what the Lord wants to tell me. So we're aiming then to quiet down our minds so that we can hear from Christ, which is in our heart. And then we tune in. We flow and we will listen. We actually, we've got an attitude of a complete trust in the Lord. Because the Lord is for you. He's not against us. He wants to give us the best. So we've got to tune in. So we've got to become quiet, and we've got to listen what the Lord is saying over there. It's always something positive that he wants to say about us, because we are his children. The next one is tune in, connect. That you've got that oneness, one of mind, that verse what we just now were speaking about, where Christ and the Lord were one in mind, and what he wants us to be one in mind as well. This is where you're going to, that you're going to be one in mind, where you can hear. And then we are joined together. We've got that heart-to-heart connection then. And then the last one is to be attentive. Again, remember that revelations is greater than education. We thank him. We thank him for what he's doing, what he's telling us. We thank him for the revelations, what he's giving to us. It's so awesome what he's giving to you. And me and Renee as well, then we take a look at each other and then we smile. We say, okay, what has the Lord been saying to you? What has the Lord been saying to you? And then it's actually so awesome to share, like this morning as well. As he said to me, you're preaching next week Sunday. I said, yes, I got the same message. And then it's so nice, because we got the same message. It's coming from the same source. And that's such a confirmation. So yes, I'm preaching next week Sunday again. Then I got a verse which for me helped a little bit to explain what the Lord actually wants to do. The Lord wants to spend time with us. He wants to walk with us. And it's a verse which is coming out of Amos, where it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The Lord is inviting us that we should walk along with him. He's inviting us, but we've got to react. And we've got to say, yes, Lord, I want to walk along with you. Now, if me and Renee are walking, then there are three things which are critical. Where are we going? Because if she's going north and I'm going south, we're not going to the same place. We're not walking together. When are we going? We've got to walk at the same time as well. If I'm starting to walk at 5 o'clock and see at 6 o'clock, we're not walking together. How fast are we going? I'm going a little bit faster as what Renee is going, so we've got to adjust it that we get at the same speed. And this is exactly the same with the Lord. And this is why Amos is saying, can two walk together? The Lord wants to walk together with us. He wants the same destination, same timing, and the same speed. That's how he wants to walk along with us. And it's the same invitation what the Lord is making to us. He says, connect to my heart. I'm inviting you to connect to my heart. That's what he's saying over there. And what is our response? Our response is, yes, I want to connect with your heart, Lord. We've got to do it on his terms. We've got to connect to his heart that we can listen to him. James is also mentioning it in James 4 verses 8, where it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But then I just want to add that last part, which is a lot of times it's not mentioned. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, double-minded. So what we've got to do, if we want to go and draw near to God, we've got to cleanse our hands. Now what have we been doing with our hands? We've been sinning with our hands. We've got to cleanse them. We've got to make them clean. We've got to repent of it. We've got to bring the sin to the Lord that it can be cleaned. And then it says, purify your hearts, double-minded. Purify your feelings, purify your will, purify your intellect, purify your thoughts, purify your mind. Make it clean that you just want to do one thing. Because we, a lot of times, and I'm included, are double-minded. We've got things of the earth and things of heaven. Not quite sure. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Lord is not looking for that. He's not looking for double-minded people. So we've got to purify our hearts. We've got to clean our hearts that we're just doing what the Lord wants us to do. I want to share a video clip now, which is from a song, Have It All, from Brian Johnson. I don't know if you've seen that video clip or not. Take a look at it. It's showing an artist who's making a heart, but the words which are there were applicable to what I've been preaching about this afternoon. And look at it, think about it. Maybe there's a heart-to-heart connection you're going to experience this afternoon with the Lord. It's difficult for me to say. If you're not receiving a heart-to-heart connection, make an appointment with the Lord. Tomorrow morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, tomorrow evening, doesn't matter, whatever, but make an appointment with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to make an appointment this afternoon that I would like to have a heart-to-heart connection with you. I want to hear what is exactly on your heart. I want you to speak into my life. I want you to give me your love, that I can live from that. So take a look at that video clip. Once we've finished with that video clip, then we will do it in the communion afterwards. But I first would like to have the video clip and take your time. Listen to it. It takes approximately 6 minutes. It's going to be a little bit long, but let it work in you and have a look at it.